So Christmas is just under a month away. I think tomorrow is December. And so for the next four Sundays, we're going to run over the statements that God made concerning a human savior who would come, who would be a descendant of Eve and a descendant of Abraham and a descendant of Judah and a descendant of King David. A human savior who would be born in Bethlehem, but come from Galilee. A human savior whose origins would be from ancient times. And a human savior who would rule over his people forever. But then, why did we need a human savior, a son of man, to save us? Well, in part, that's the question that I'm answering today. And so John's going to come forward and read our first reading so that we can decide whether or not we needed a saviour from the very beginning.
Morning, all. Our first reading is from Genesis chapter 2, beginning at verse 4. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now, no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up. For the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there, it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is the Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Asher, and the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die." This is the word of the Lord.
So we've just heard what is a beautiful story of how God created the first humans. We've been reminded of how God chose to create us in his own image. Why? So that we might have a personal relationship with him. And we've been reminded of how God himself breathed life into our first ancestor. Then we heard how God then placed Adam into a garden that he'd made for him, filled with trees that were both pleasing to the eye and good for food. And how in the middle of the garden, God placed the tree of life, a tree that if the man Adam ate from it, he would live, it would seem, forever. So that was God's intention for us humans, that we would live with him forever. But there was also another tree there in the middle of the garden that God put there, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Regarding that tree, we heard the Lord God commanded Adam, verse 16, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden." And so that would seem to include the tree of life. "But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for if you eat from it, you will certainly die, or when you eat from it, you will certainly die." So that's the story of how humanity begins, with a beautiful picture of humanity living at peace and dwelling with our Creator on earth, wanting for nothing. So then, in the beginning, was there any need for us as humans to be saved? Absolutely not. In fact, I don't know about you, but if I was Adam, I would have eaten from the tree of life. For according to God's word, to eat from this tree would bring life, whereas to eat from this other tree would bring death. As simple as that. So based on this logic, humanity was set to live forever. Mind you, after this reading, after God had placed Adam in his garden, God saw one thing that was not good. But God did not think that was good for Adam to be alone. And so God created another human from one of Adam's ribs. And Adam named this other human Isha, or woman, for this other human was taken out of Ish, out of the man. But with the arrival of the woman, this meant that everything was now good. There was nothing lacking. For what God previously saw as not being good had now been resolved. And this meant that Ish, the man, and Isha, the woman, would live in a perfect world forever, provided that they obeyed God, provided that they ate from the tree of life. Now this brings us to our second reading, where what is good and perfect ends up getting broken. For rather than eating from the tree of life, Ish and Isha, the man and the woman, chose to eat from the tree of death. So let's now be reminded through our second reading of why we needed a saviour, a human saviour.
The second reading is from Genesis chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now the snake was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the snake, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will certainly die," the snake said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open. They realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. And the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree from which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The snake deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the snake, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." For the word of the Lord.
So we all, if not most of us, know the story of how Ish and Isha, the man and the woman, got tricked or deceived by the serpent into eating from the tree of death. That's my term for it today, the tree of death. And according to God's words to them, the consequence of eating from the tree of death meant that they would die. And so that, it would seem, would be the end of the human experiment, for want of a better term. Except when we carefully listen to God's words concerning the judgments that God placed upon the serpent, we see a sign of hope for humanity, an indication of one who would be born, who would save us. For God said to the serpent, whom we know from the book of Revelation to be the devil, "Cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you'll eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the Isha, the woman, and between your offspring and hers. And he," first person masculine singular, "will crush your head. And you," second person masculine singular, "will strike his heel." When I lived in Mount Magnet, where Melita and I were BCA missionaries, I once found a snake in the church. I'm yet to find a snake on these grounds, though sometimes one wanders over the cemetery over there. But we tend to get a funnel web every year and here. I suspect that if some of you saw a snake in here today, that you would run or move as fast as you could to get away from it. But most humans are afraid of snakes. They're afraid of getting bitten, especially here in Australia, because Australia is home to 20 of the world's top 25 deadliest snakes. And so in Australia, we know what it means when God said that he would put enmity between us, the offspring of Isha, the woman, and the offspring of the ancient serpent. And yet in God referring to just one male descendant of the woman in verse 15, who would crush the head, so kill the ancient serpent, the one in the garden, we see God making a statement about a man who would come, a son of man, who would bring death to the serpent. The serpent brought death to humans. This human would bring death to the serpent. And through God's carefully chosen words, we also see that this once and for all victory over this serpent would not come without a cost. For before the serpent died, he would succeed in striking this son of man on the heel. And so the implication is that this human savior would die as a result. But nonetheless, this son of man would succeed in bringing to an end the serpent's ability to continue to strike humans and to continue to bring death to humanity. So there is the promise of hope, the promise of a human savior who would one day come to save us. And that's where we finish today. For we began with a world in which humans lived, in which everything was good, and where there was no need at all for a human savior or a savior at all. A world in which we were destined and designed to live with God forever. But then we saw how death entered the world, not through the serpent, but through the man's decision and the woman's decision to disobey God by eating from the tree of death, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And on that day, humanity did die. For humans from that day on would no longer be given the opportunity to live forever. But whilst they did not physically die that day, God cut off their access to the tree of life, the fruit that they needed to live forever. But God also cut off their access to his presence. But as we saw, despite this terrible situation, there was a message of hope, really two messages of hope. Firstly, God spoke of the woman and the man living long enough to produce offspring so that they would have children. Secondly, God spoke of how one of these children, a son of man, would bring an end to the power that the serpent now had over the human race. And so the Bible begins with a mystery. This Saviour, who will this man be? When would he come? How would he kill the serpent? Would he be a mighty warrior and battle the serpent to the death? Or would he be a human who, unlike his first ancestors, would choose to obey God in everything and in so doing defeat the serpent? Well, that's the question that is answered as we read the rest of our Bibles. But what is clear from today's reading is that you and I needed someone to save us. To save us from the serpent and to save us from death, to restore what had been lost. And from our second reading, we know that our Saviour would be a human, a son of man, just like us. But we also see that this Saviour, in saving us, would die in the process. Of course, this brings us to Jesus, to a human, to a son of man who was struck by the serpent and died, but who God then raised from the dead so that this son of man might crush the head of the serpent and so save us from his power and so save us from death and then give us the opportunity to be in the relationship with God that God intended for us in the first place, a relationship that lasts forever. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, the Bible. Firstly, we thank you that it exists at all. When our ancestors chose to disobey you, it would have been so easy for you just to finish things there and then. But we thank you for the promise that was given in these verses of a descendant of Eve who would rise to defeat the serpent and to defeat death. As we come again to this Christmas, help us not to take for granted the birth of your son, that beautiful baby born in Bethlehem, but help us to see in him the Saviour you sent and plan to send to save us. We pray in Jesus' name. We're going to sing our next song, and this one we learnt really during COVID, but it's some